Good morning. Scripture this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 16, page 948. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is some body and there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for a work of service so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole world, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does work. That's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Phyllis. So by a show of hands, how many of you are the kinds of people that when you get a new appliance or gadget, you read the manual before you use it? Okay, there's a few of you. How many of you immediately lose it or throw it away? How many of you put it in a drawer in a very organized fashion so that in the future, should you need to read the manual, it's there? Okay, so we got a mix here. I don't keep any of them anymore because if I ever need to know the schematic for the dryer or how to use my cell phone, I just Google it and I get it right there. But there are times in life when we do need to go back and read the manual to figure out how something works because it's not working for us anymore. Or maybe you're using it the wrong way. I wish I had thought of a great example for this, but I don't have one. But sometimes if you're trying to use something not according to how it was designed, you don't get very good results, do you? And it's the same way with the church. Sometimes we need to look around and say, let's check the manual to see if we're doing this thing correctly. That's what I'm talking about this morning. This is based on kind of a project I did last year for the whole year about leadership and discipleship in our church, kind of trying to understand my job as an equipper of leaders. And so I'm going to share that with you, and this was my anchor passage, because this is one of the best places in the Bible to learn about what the church is. The book of Ephesians as a whole is just so rich with teaching on what is the church? Who are we? What are we for? How do we fit together? What is our purpose? As much as anything else, it's the manual that we need. Excuse me. And so, This passage specifically can teach us three things about the church. Number one, what does Jesus do for the church? Number two, what am I supposed to do? And number three, you guessed it, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Let's pause and pray. I know I need God's help this morning, and as we all do. So, Father, as we come to your word, we pray that though we cannot plumb the full depths of this passage, you would really accentuate and spotlight the things that we need to understand. Help my words to be faithful and true. And as Meg prayed, would you stir in our hearts just the ways that you have gifted and called each one of us to serve your body. In Jesus' name, amen. So first of all, what does Jesus do? What is his role in the church? Verses 7 and 8. Look with me if you have your Bible open. Paul says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." Paul is quoting Psalm 68 here, which pictures a king marching home from a victorious military campaign, coming back into his city, taking his throne, and distributing gifts to all his people. And Paul says that is talking about Jesus. Now you say, Jesus never went on a military campaign. He never came and sat on a throne and handed out gifts. So what is he talking about? But Jesus did do those things. Because Jesus conquered all of our greatest enemies, sin and death, on the cross. He went to war with sin and death. He paid the price for our sin. It was nailed to the cross in him. And then he was raised again to deliver the final fatal blow to sin and death forever. And then what happened? He ascended, he rose from the dead, and then ascended to heaven victorious and gave gifts to his people, namely the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus has gifted all of his people with the gifts they need to be his body on earth. The first thing we need to understand about the church is that it's all about Jesus, right? It's his, it belongs to him, and it's his body. He created it, he equips it, he makes it grow. This passage is just dripping with words about the body of Christ and him making it grow and him giving gifts. And in one sense, all Christians everywhere and every time are the body of Christ. And yet Paul was also writing to an individual church in this letter. And this letter, would have been circulated to many individual churches. And so it's also true that we, the Georgia Plain Baptist Church, are the body of Christ. And we have all the gifts that we need to grow and to mature because Jesus has given his Holy Spirit. I have a gift. You have a gift. Paul talks about this amazing oneness we all have in Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one hope, the unity of the Spirit, and yet that within that unity, there's diversity because Jesus gives different gifts. So that's what Jesus does. It's all about him. It's his church. It belongs to him. It's his body. He takes care of his body just as you and I take care of our bodies, right? We do what we need to make sure that our bodies thrive, and Jesus does it best. So that's Jesus' job, and we can't overlook that, friends, because the church is not just an organization or a society or a club or you know, a human family. We are a supernatural creation of God. It's easy to miss that, and we kind of keep our eyes down and just kind of see our human weaknesses and the organizational structures that keep us going. But we are so much more than that. You are the body of Christ himself. And Jesus is equipping you and gifting you to grow and to make the body mature. So next we get to what is my job? What is a pastor's job or a leader's job? Well, in verse 11, Paul makes that pretty clear. Continuing the train of thought, Paul says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Now there are some details to understand here, but let's not miss the main point of these sentences. The main point is Jesus gave the church certain leaders to equip all of God's people for ministry. That phrase, works of service, here in verse 12, is literally works of ministry. Works of ministry. That means I'm not the only minister in the room right now. If you believe in Jesus, Carrie, you are a minister of the gospel. Mike, you are a minister of the gospel. And it's my job not to be the minister, but to equip you in your ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up. I think as an American church or maybe a Western church, we've kind of run afoul of this. We have this professionalized view of ministry where the pastor is the expert and they're hired to come in and kind of deliver the spiritual goods and services to the flock. But that's not at all the model that Jesus set up. And that's actually really good news, because I don't have all the gifts that our church needs. Not even close. I have some gifts, particular gifts that God has given me and called me to preach and to teach as a pastor and teacher. But you have all the rest of the gifts. And so my job is to equip you for works of ministry. One author that I read said that the pastor's job should be to make himself indispensable by giving away everything he has. And I wish I had learned that sooner. I would have saved myself a lot of work. No, really, the best times in my ministry here in the last 9.5 years have been when I've seen and I've helped to empower you to serve. And I've platformed others to lead and to serve. And I've been able to teach principles that help you go deeper in Scripture and go deeper with God and use your gifts more effectively. So that's my job. That should be my job. Now, Paul talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, pastors, and teachers. The apostles and prophets aren't really in circulation in the same way today, because these apostles were commissioned by Jesus himself to go and proclaim his word. But we still have people today with apostolic gifting, meaning they go to new places and start new things. They plant churches. They take beachheads for the gospel. In the same way, we have people with prophetic gifts who can speak truth into situations in an uncanny way based on the Word of God. We certainly have evangelists, people who are gifted with sharing the gospel in the world. We have shepherds, pastors, people like me who are called to tend the flock and teachers, people like Dennis and myself, who are really called to expound the Word of God and explain it and help you understand. So all these gifts are still in operation, but those gifts are given to build up your gifts, everyone's gifts. Now, as I mentioned, in 2024, I did a lot of thinking and reading and praying about leadership development in our church. My friend Micah Thompson, who's a pastor in Williston, has a ministry called Growth in Season. Anyone can do it. It's like a 12-month program where you can kind of discern and develop a ministry project of your own. And my project was leadership development in our church. Now, I had lots of schemes and ideas for how that would go, and it didn't quite pan out in all the ways that I thought it would. But God did some really cool and interesting things. So one of the ways I was really praying last year and hoping was to bolster up our music ministry. And so I could really, you know, the newer songs we sing, I'd be able to pass off that leadership to other people. So far, God hasn't really raised up a particular person for that in our church. However, this summer, right as I had been praying about that, Mike Danis and his daughter Ashley said, "Hey, we're worship leaders at our church in New Hampshire. We're here for the summer. Would you ever want us to lead?" And I said, "Yes." So we worked together a little bit, and didn't they just bless us as a church for 8 or 10 weeks this summer? I've tried to bring in other people, other musicians. This is a call. If you have any musical gifts, you're needed here. If you can sing, if you can play an instrument. Now, it might be the kind of thing you try out and realize, oh, that's not for me. That's fine, because as a church, we're a safe place to try new things and make mistakes and get better and discern. So talk to me later if you have musical gifts, or talk to Wally or Alexis or anyone on the in the music committee in the choir. One more example, though. In 2024, with kind of this leadership development on my radar, it occurred to me in late May, okay, early June, we have Children's Day, when many of the Sunday school kids lead different parts of the service. Why don't we have a graduating senior preach that day? And so Porter Hurtow, I talked to him, and I worked with him on studying and crafting a sermon. And didn't he do such a great job on that? That's going to become a yearly tradition. So watch out. If you're a senior or even a junior, I might come calling. This is a chance to develop leaders. See, our church, even if they don't stay here, they can bless the body of Christ by developing these gifts. I wonder what, as we transition to the third point, what gifts you have that can be developed and that we can make space for in this church to lead, to build up the body of Christ. So we come to that at the end. What is your job? Jesus' job is to make things grow and to gift people. My job is to equip you to use your gifts, and your job is to use your gifts. It says in verse 12, my job is to equip his people, Jesus' people, for works of ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Down in verse 16, from him, Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. This is the key phrase. As each part does its work. Each part. Every one of us is a part of the body of Christ here. And so you have work to do. You have a function. You have a role. You have a calling. You have a purpose. And your purpose is for someone else, to build up the body of Christ. And I think we're actually doing pretty good in this regard in a lot of ways. I look out and I see Sunday school teachers. I see choir members. I see greeters. I see prayer warriors. I see food, food ministry people, hospitality ministry. I see people who visit others when they're sick. I see people who are gifted in administration and in technology. And we need all of you. This church would not function without all of you. Excuse me. So here's the practical message, which I've already said. You have a gift, you have a role, a crucial role to play. And some of you are doing sort of front-facing things. Some of you are behind the scenes. We need them both. Some of you are doing things that you think, oh, anybody could do this. But maybe not. And you've been called to it. Some are doing things that have more technical skill or training, and those are needed too. I think the one place we have room to grow in is leadership. People who are willing to use their gifts and with them to shoulder some responsibility, to be involved in leading from the front, to do some of the things that I do up here on Sundays, to start new ministries, because there are ministries in this church that are needed that haven't been started because I haven't thought of them, or the boards haven't thought of them, or don't have the time to start them. So they're there. What is God's Spirit doing in you? Excuse me, almost done here. And with that, you know, in the future, you may see people doing things up here that you think, shouldn't the pastor be doing that? And I hope that happens, because that's a sign we're on the right track. When the pandemic hit in 2020, I was still kind of in the mode of, I have to do everything because people are expecting me to do it all, which wasn't true. But when we had that spell where we could only live stream our service, I thought, Meg, I need some help. So Meg, would you be willing to lead prayer half of the time for these live stream services? And I was thinking, I hope people aren't upset that it's not the pastor doing the prayer. And then she just has such a gift for that. And I realized, I need to make that a regular thing. I need to make space for that. And then others, we're now building up sort of a prayer ministry team. So you're going to see other people up here most Sundays leading prayer. And I think that's a great thing. I think my sabbatical coming up this year will be an excellent opportunity for more leadership to happen. So I'll be gone, if you didn't know, from July 1st to October 31st. There will be an interim pastor here named Jeff Cornwell, doing most of the preaching and helping the boards, leading worship. But he's not going to do everything I've been doing. And all of you can be discerning how you can serve. Well, I think I've been going on long enough here. But I just want to close out with an encouraging story, because sometimes I get discouraged about the church. I think, Lord, why does so much depend on me? Or why aren't more people doing things? which really isn't true. There are so many people doing things, but sometimes I feel that way. Later, or early last year, my wife Meg was really feeling burdened for there to be a small group for moms, a small group Bible study for moms in the church. Maybe long term, maybe short term. At the same time, she was like, I just cannot lead that. She didn't have the space in her schedule or in her life at that time. And so she kind of wrestled with it for a while, and then she thought, oh, well, I could pray about that and ask God to raise someone up. So she started praying about it. Well, wouldn't you know, a few weeks later, and I'm seeing you smile, Kara, Kara contacts me and says, God has really put it on my heart to start a Bible study for moms. So what do you think about that? I said, oh, I told her the story of Meg praying, and I said, yes, that is a sign that God is at work doing things in our church. You see, Jesus is in charge, and he provides what is needed for his church. So how is Jesus going to nudge you and say, hey, you're needed here? That thing that's on your heart, that's needed in our church. We can't be the full body of Christ without it. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for the many, many servants in our church and the many servant leaders in our church. I thank you that we are a family-style church and not a top-heavy organization. But I pray that you would make us more like the body of Christ. Make us more like the church that you had in mind when you inspired the New Testament. Show us our particular strengths and areas of growth. And I pray that you would move in each heart and each life to call, to gift. We trust you to do what you desire and to give the gifts that are needed for this church to thrive and to continue being a faithful presence for the gospel in Georgia for another 200 years, unless you come back first. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.